It's time to look back at it and bring you some updates on the stories we've been following. We focus our attention on two cities who are surviving through the aftermath of mass shootings. Last May, a violent white supremacist attacked the Tops grocery store in East Buffalo, New York. Armed with a legally obtained AR-15-style automatic rifle, the 19-year-old shooter killed 10 people and injured 3 others. The loss of so many to a racist massacre was nearly unbearable. And the violence took something else from the community, its only grocery store. Back in May, we spoke with Allison Dehoney of Buffalo Go Green.
We are all very devastated. We're struggling to wrap our heads around what happened, but we're also working diligently. When I say we, those of us who have been working in the food space for food justice, for environmental justice, are also coming together to figure out how we move forward.
And Allison reminded us of all that food is and represents.
It's culture, it's comfort, it's safety, it's security. It is not true that Black and brown people do not want healthy food.
For Buffalo Go Green, the work of grieving and healing following the mass shooting has meant refusing to allow gun violence to literally starve this community. They've partnered with other community organizations to create long-term, sustainable solutions to the nutrition apartheid in East Buffalo's predominantly Black community.
The unfortunate event on May 14th, fortunately, has strengthened these partnerships. We continue to meet, we continue to coalesce to serve the community, and we continue to think about ways to improve our local food system.
Back in May, only days after the massacre in Buffalo, gun violence shattered the community of Uvalde, Texas. 19 children and 2 teachers were slaughtered at Robb Elementary School. And in Uvalde, the 18-year-old gunman also used a legally obtained AR-15-style automatic rifle. Back in May, we sat down with Professor Jonathan Metzl of Vanderbilt University.
It really is a vicious cycle in so many ways for our country. And it's, of course, catastrophic for communities and families. This cycle is so catastrophic for our country and how we think about democracy and how we think about our ability to come together to solve problems that threaten shared humanity. And so it's all of those emotions at one time. And so I think it's understandable why people feel anger and fatigue and resignation and despair all at once.
The fatigue and despair were apparent this week when the parents of Uvalde victims held a press conference at the Texas State Legislature.
This was our first Christmas that my husband and I did not sit with our children to open gifts. Instead, we were locked in our room, crying.
Still, these shattered families refused to remain locked away in their grief. They have organized to force accountability and to make change. We talked with Uriel Garcia, reporter for the Texas Tribune, who's been following the Uvalde families.
Brett Cross is one of the parents of one of the children who died in the shooting. And what he ended up doing in September was stage an overnight protest for about a week outside of the school district administration. And basically what he wanted to know was who were some of the officers that the school district had hired post-shooting.
This week, Uvalde families joined State Senator Roland Gutierrez at the Texas Capitol in Austin as he introduced multiple measures. The family stood with Gutierrez wearing shirts or holding posters with photos of their slain loved ones. And they were not silent.
I come here pleading to you to take clear notice of these common sense gun laws. We Americans and our children, our future, need in order to live in a carefree, peaceful life in the United States of America and stop living in the United States of the NRA.
This is The Takeaway.